Hello, and thank you for downloading Sporting Witness from the BBC World Service with me, Ashley Byrne. Today we're going back to the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles and an unforgettable marathon finish.
The end of the first Olympic marathon for women had the crowd of 90,000 people in the Coliseum willing home Gabriella Anderson-Shears.
Gabrielle Anderson-Shears' agonising struggle over the finishing line, her body bent double, her torso contorted due to dehydration and heat, became the image of the first ever women's marathon at an Olympic Games.
As a top athlete, you're used to going close to the edge or almost over the edge, and that's what happened there. I thought, well, this is the Olympic, it's not just any race, and I'm going to finish if I have to give it all. I thought if I just keep walking, I'll get there.
After running 26 miles in the midday heat, only sheer guts kept the girl from Switzerland on her feet for the last few hundred yards.
Living and working as a ski instructor in Idaho, Gabrielle had won several marathons, but she was almost 40 when the chance finally came to compete at an Olympics. She qualified for Los Angeles, representing her home country of Switzerland.
I would never dreamt of. I was 39 at the time when I ran the marathon in the Olympics, and women at that age didn't really perform that much in the Olympics anymore. Before, everybody said, well, 20 or maybe 30, and then that's it. And now there are a lot of athletes who compete in later years. For me, it was very exciting because as a kid, I was sometimes dreaming about the Olympics, but never thought I would ever be in it. Even so, I was kind of at the tail end of my career. I thought that's something to shoot for.
The LA heat was always a concern for you, wasn't it?
The only thing, you know, that was worrying me was the climate, because I know it would be hot and humid, and living at altitude, we have a pretty dry and cool climate.
And on race day, it was the heat that gradually got the better of her.
At the beginning of the race, there were these really wide boulevards with palm trees, and you had a little breeze because you were not right next to the ocean, but still, you know, you could feel it. And then as further you got inland, then it got a little bit more desolate. On the feeding stations, besides the water, they had little sprays or showers that you can run through it. It's just closer to midday. It got hotter. The worst part when we start running on the freeway, because then you had the heat from above and also from the heat coming up from the pavement.
At first, Gabrielle felt able to cope with the searing California temperatures.
Everything was going well. I remember like at 15 miles, I was about where I wanted to be within the first 15 or 20 runners. And my husband, he actually was following me on a motorbike as much as he could. And he said, well, everything looked good. And then I started to probably getting a little suffering from the heat from about 20 miles on. But the worst thing was, I think, the lost 2 miles. I missed the lost water station. I'm not sure if I just didn't see it or, you know, sometimes you just concentrate. And when you missed one, that was it.
As she began to show more and more signs of difficulty, Gabrielle's husband and marathon officials became concerned, but she waved away their offers of help.
At that point, you know, I still know where I was, you know, how far I had to go, and I still felt strong enough that I might have to slow down. But then, maybe about a mile before, it started to get tougher, and all I could think about is if I can just get some water to drink and also to cool me down like a sponge or something. But as I said, there was just no way to get it.
By the time the Los Angeles Coliseum was in sight, Gabrielle was in agony, but she was determined to finish the course.
You had to go through a tunnel to get into the stadium, and that was kind of nice. You got out of the sun there, but it really hit me when I got in the stadium.
The crowds couldn't believe what they were watching. They gasped as Gabrielle dragged her contorted body around the track, her torso twisted, her left arm limp, her right leg almost frozen rigid. The whole stadium, as well as the millions watching around the world, rallied behind her.
You know, what's still in my mind is the noise. The crowd was cheering so loud.
Medics could see that Gabrielle was in pain and they rushed towards her.
You know, when you get that dehydrated, your muscles just cramp up. And they couldn't give you any assistance either. They couldn't give me water. You know, would have helped if I could have gotten, like, some ice or some cold towels, but that was the rule at that time. As soon as one of the officials would have touched me, you know, would have been disqualified. They had a medical doctor. He was following me around, and he kind of asked me, and I just made a gesture, no, I don't want any help.
She looked as though she didn't know where she was, but nothing was going to stop her completing the race, and that included the officials watching anxiously but not daring to help.
Though struggling, Gabrielle was still sweating, so the medics decided she had enough fluids left to try to complete the remaining 400 metres.
This is the Olympics, and I really like to finish, so I just was holding on and struggled to get there. Because I knew in the stadium, if I stop or even, you know, sit down or something, I wouldn't be able to get up and continue. I still knew where I had to go. My legs just didn't obey my brain because they were so cramped up from dehydration that I just couldn't run or walk straight.
That last lap and a half around the stadium seemed to go on forever.
Well, definitely it was one of the longest and one of the slowest, too. You know, I think later on they said that it took me like 5 or 6 minutes.
But she carried on. The end was in sight. Gabrielle literally fell across the finishing line.
The patriotic crowd gave her a cheer as big as the one they'd given their own girl, Joan Benoit, when she won the race.
I was very conscious seeing the line, and I said, OK, I made it. The medical staff were holding me up, and it was pretty intense pain. You know, my body was so hot. So the first 15, 20 minutes were very painful.
Medics tended to Gabrielle straight away, and miraculously she was released 2 hours later and was competing again within just a few weeks.
I got covered in ice and everything. Then after about half an hour, you know, I recovered, and I think an hour and a half later, they let me go back to the Olympic Village. And that night, I had to go to a TV studio. They said, oh, you have to do it because everybody is worried about it. And then the next morning, I was able to go for a little run. So really wasn't any lasting injuries or anything that I got from it.
She'd finished 37th in 2 hours, 48 minutes and 45 seconds. A time that would have been good enough to defeat all the men in the first few Olympic marathons. Gabrielle's agony became one of the lasting memories for many watching the 1984 Olympics, a story of triumph over adversity in the first women's marathon, overshadowing the winner, American Joan Benoit.
I think the most amazing thing is how many people remember that event. I mean, so many people come up to me and say, well, you know, I remember I watched that finish. And even younger people now with the internet, it's just really amazing to me. Not everything in life goes smooth, and sometimes there's struggles and you try to overcome and not give up and then get over it.
And she certainly didn't give up. Gabrielle went on to run more than half a dozen marathons after those Olympic Games in 1984 and only gave up marathon running when she broke her knee in her late 40s. Gabrielle Anderson Shears was speaking to me, Ashley Byrne, for this edition of Sporting Witness. It was a Made in Manchester production for the BBC World Service. For details of the BBC's complete range of downloads and its terms of use, please go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.